Welcome to the Hot Rod Hangout Podcast.
Whoop, whoop.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Ashley.
And tonight we got a special guest in the house, Mark Pops Plemons from Pops Classic Car Photo Resource.
How you doing?
Doing good. Doing well. How about y'all?
Oh, you know, just living a dream down here in sunny Florida.
Yeah, it's rainy Dallas around here. Oh. And we've been getting a lot of rain.
Yeah. And I'm glad you put your name on the screen, because for some reason I cannot get all those words together in a sentence.
Yeah, now I realize I should have come up with a shorter name, but I was trying to go, well, I want to incorporate everything I do in the business name. So, okay, classic cars, and I go by Pop Photo, but I don't take pictures. And I said, well, I could be a resource for cars. So that's how I came up with the name, but now it's a mouthful to say to everybody.
I get it. Every once in a while, I get it right on the first try.
Yeah. It's kind of late to change now. Maybe down the road when I get bigger, I can just do initials. Or because if you do Pop's Classic Car, he comes up with shops and people that sell classic cars and all that. So
yeah,
I'll figure out one of these days.
Well, and I feel like everybody's garage is Pop's garage, you know.
Yeah, that is true. So. Everybody's grandpa and everything else is Pop, so.
So, what is Pop's Classic Car Photo Resource?
Well, I rent out classic cars for any kind of special occasion you want. I've done weddings where I chauffeur people from the wedding to their hotel. They usually call it the getaway car. I did a gender reveal. This couple was having they already had three boys.
Oh, goodness.
And they were having another boy. So they used the dart to let everybody know they're having another little boy.
Oh.
And I've done a couple commercials. My 54 truck, Chevrolet truck, was in a Coca-Cola commercial.
Oh, that's cool.
Last winter. And then my blue dart was in a Service King commercial a couple years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
That's so awesome.
So I rented out for, I've done a couple of small budget movies. Anything you can imagine, classic car. I've done weddings, engagement photos, family, like Christmas time. I'm busy with it. Truck.
Oh, yes.
Christmas minis and all that.
Yes, sir.
But you know, anything you can imagine using a classic car for, that's what my goal was. I love the classic cars, and any excuse I can get to drive them, I'll take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. So,
well, we love classic cars, too. I've
got new glasses with bifocals, so I'm trying to figure out how to use
these things. That'll make you dizzy.
Like I'm trying to figure out how to see through them.
So, what got you into the car hobby obsession?
Well, I've always loved cars, but I really didn't get into the, because when I was young and teenager, I had to work on the cars in order to have something to drive to work or school. So it wasn't really enjoyable. A lot of it was working on the side of the road or the parking lot, changing the starter or something like that. So I really didn't get into where I enjoyed the cars till I got my own house, where I had more money and had space to do stuff with. So I was kind of a late bloomer when it comes to getting into cars. I guess I was probably in my late 20s when I had a place where I could have cars and room and had concrete floor to work on cars versus, you know, rock driveway at my mom and dad's house trying to fix something.
How did you buy a house and had money for cars? I bought a house and don't have no money.
Well, it's kind of funny. Like when we bought this place, we bought the land first, and I told my wife, I said, well, if I build a shop, we can store everything in the shop and live in the shop while the house is being built. Because I knew in the back of my mind, I said, I'll never get a shop unless we do it this way.
Okay, Matt.
So we did that. and I got my shop out of it. It had bathroom, shower in it. Mm-hmm. So my dad always told me, if you ever build your shop, put a bathroom in it.
Yes.
So it kind of got that way. And then one of my first jobs where I had more money, I was a jailer for a county jail. Mm-hmm. And when I quit there, I cashed in my retirement and bought my first car and been, you know, spending money ever since.
That sounds about like me. We bought some land, and that was the first thing. I was like, well, we'll build a barn dominium, but we'll get the shop done first. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
It didn't work out. Yeah, we ended up having to buy a house anyway.
Yeah, that's right. I knew. I said, if I don't do it now, who knows how long it'll be before I get a shop,
mm-hmm.
to do stuff in.
Yeah.
And, but it's just now, any cars, I've had so many cars since, when I was young, I'd buy a new car every couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But then the older I get, I want old stuff where you don't have to have a laptop to work on.
Yeah.
And even my wife, she's had more cars since we've been married than she ever did before we got married. Because I would talk, oh, you ought to trade this in and get something bigger or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's just been a kind of obsession, you know, ever since.
Oh, it's definitely an obsession.
So I find something I want. And I always tell my wife it's better than women and booze. At least she knows where my money goes to.
Yeah, pretty much. So what car was it that you bought the first one? What was the one that, you know, got you going in it?
A 1976 Dodge pickup truck, long bed.
Okay.
Bought it off of this. They're having an estate sale. Bought it for $500 and drove it home.
Oh, my.
It was sitting in the field for years and years. Mm-hmm. And I put a quarter little gas tank, a gas can on top of a block. And a new battery, and it started up.
There you go.
And I drove it home and got it running, because I'm a Dodge nut when it comes, especially the old Dodge pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
I could probably take one apart, put it back together in my sleep. As many times I've been stuck on the side of the road or had to get it running to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the first one, and then I had that for a while and traded it for a 73 Dodge Dart. Which kind of started my love for darts. My dad they had a 73 Dodge Dart when I was a kid, and that's how you remember my birthday. He goes, see, Mark, we bought the Dart in 73. Mark was born 6 months later, so that's how you remember what year I was born.
Hey.
It was that old Dodge Dart. And then I found one. I said, oh, I got to get it. It was yellow, just like theirs. And so that's kind of where I got into darts. And I traded it and kind of, you know, went through several cars, and then I finally found I always got drawn back to the darts.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally found the one I have now, and I love that car. It's more the body style I really like, because the 73s kind of had that pointed front end and the big front bumpers.
Yeah, that was right when the safety Nazis were coming out, and you had the bumper that was 4 foot in front of all cars. And
Yeah, it had a 318 originally, and I think they were rated at 150 horsepower. And just a year or two before that, they were rated at 225.
Yeah.
So they started gutting them in 73 horsepower-wise. But with that 73, I found a 340, put 340 in it, and it was a good car. I just kind of got bored with it. And decided to get something else, and then went from car to car to car till I found my 69. Mm-hmm. And I say it's gonna be my forever car, but knowing me, you know, who knows what comes up, because I've been offered a whole lot more money than what I paid for it, but I would just turn around and buy something else. So this is the car, I know it, and I just love it. That blue really pops.
It does. That is a beautiful car.
Right.
And I understand.
To go pick it up. But
I understand the whole you'll never get rid of it thing, because for 23 episodes, I said that the 32 pickup truck was never going anywhere, but I've now decided that it's up for sale.
Due to space constraints.
I'm not a little guy, so.
Me neither. I had a 49 Ford pickup truck that was on a Trailblazer chassis. Man, it was, it had air conditioned Bluetooth radio. It was just awesome. I just couldn't fit in it very well. I felt like my feet were kind of crumpled up to try to hit the gas pedal. But I was like, it had air conditioning. Mm-hmm.
That's my dad's struggle right now with his, is the gas pedal. You know, everything else you can kind of make work, but his knees bent and like leaned over, and it's hard to get to the gas pedal. And I'm like, well, yours has more room than mine, so if yours are like that, then mine's going to be worse.
Oh yeah, yeah. You go, that really looks cool. Then you start thinking, well, when Camaros are really cool, but when you get in them, you're going, oh, I need more room. It's just too cramped. Yep. Even though they look cool, I got to have more room.
So I'm still doing the same build. Right, it's just going to be on a Model A sedan or a coupe.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to try to do it on a sedan. But
yeah, it seems like the older you get to be more practical. When you're young, you're going, oh, this looks cool. It's like a woman in wearing high heels. They'll wear them even though they're so uncomfortable, but they look good. But when you get older, you're going, I want to be comfortable.
Yeah,
I don't want to be cramped up and get cramps and a sore butt and this and that. I'd rather be comfortable.
Well, I kept saying like, oh, it's just embrace the suck. It's a classic car. Like, it'll be all right. And then I got to thinking and I'm like, I want to be able to drive this car. Like, I want to be able to put miles on it. You know, I want to have the option to drive it where, you know, my mom and dad, they come with us. We had a couple things last weekend and 185 total miles. And
that's a lot of miles.
Watching them crawl in and out. And I'm like, that doesn't look fun.
Yeah, but you don't realize it till you're going, till after you have it and you're messing with it, you're going, this is what it's going to be like.
So
I got to change directions.
Yeah. Well, luckily I hadn't done nothing to the third. Well, I haven't done that much to the 32. So, but I'm hoping I can trade either the body or the chassis for a sedan body and in decent shape, and then have the other to put a chassis underneath of it.
Yeah. Well, you might find something else that might tickle your fancy. You're going, ooh.
Maybe. Like
squirrel. Yeah.
I do get squirreled. I do. So.
Oh, yeah. I'm bad. I'll be outside piddling around, and before you know it, I've got three unfinished projects. I paint something. While the paint's drying, I'm going to go do this. Oh, that's broken. I need to fix that, you know. And before you know it, I'm going, I didn't get anything completed.
No.
Too busy chasing that squirrel.
Yes, sir. So I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but currently, what is the favorite car you own?
My Dart. Yes. You gotta be the Dart. She's the moneymaker right now, but I just, that blue, it just being a Dodge and a Dart, it just, like when I first bought it, my wife come with me because she didn't let me do anything stupid when it comes to buying cars, because I get an idea in my head and I want a Dart. I want a Dart. We went and looked at a couple ones and she goes, that's still too far, Mark. I went, yeah, I know. It needs more work, but I could do this. She goes, Mark, it's you know, too much for you to do. Okay. Then when we found this Dart, the guy raised up the garage door and that blue come out. And I almost had to tell her to settle down. You know, poker face, because it's just a pretty blessed. That's going to save me about $10,000 or $15,000 in a paint job.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's got the white painted top instead of vinyl. At first, I was going, not too keen on the two tone, but the more I have it, I just love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good looking car.
But, I love it. Just and the interior is cut blue and white interior. Mm. And I'm not crazy about the interior, but I get so many compliments on it that I'd be stupid to change it. Cause, yeah. You know, it's for pictures. Yep. And I want the clientele to like the you know, everybody loves the interior. I'm just not big on white because I could find dirt in the operating room. That, you know, this white doesn't do good with me.
Same.
But, yeah, so it's just a good car. We took it on the Hot Rod Tour of Texas last spring, and I put 1,000 miles on it in, was it 3 days? And from, we went down to Victoria, drove all the way from Dallas to Victoria, Texas, and all through New Braunfels, all South Texas, and drove back home, 1,000 miles on it, and then she was good. Never overheated, never gave me any problems. She used a little oil, but you know, she is an old girl, so yeah.
Do that. That's awesome.
That's to be expected.
Oh, yeah. Like they used to say, you drive from, who was it? Was it Ken Sanger saying something like, when they went from, somebody was saying that they drove from like, you know, central part of the country to California, they'd have to bring a case of oil with them because it'd go to, you know, old car would go through.
Oh, was it Chuck with Cheater Slick when they were taking the Asphalt Cowboy over to the Moon Eye show?
Well, this is really different because I mean, this is probably when they were kids.
Oh. You know,
somebody was telling me that. Somebody at a car show or one of the car clubs told me that. They go out to California, and his dad would have to bring a case of oil with him because it would burn through so much oil.
My C10, when we bought it, that was – you'd pull up, you'd put the gas nozzle in the tank, crack you open a quart, throw her in there, and go on about your day.
Yeah, I had a 78 Dodge pickup, and it'd go through a quart of oil. Right as it's time to change oil, I'd look at it, it'd be a quart low. So I knew if I was quart low, oh, it's time to change the oil.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
So,
yeah, the old Dart, she's my girl, my favorite.
Yeah. Good.
So what car out of the ones that you've owned or a chance that you had a car, you had a chance to buy it, what car got away?
Well, I had a chance when we first bought the place that somebody was selling a 1967 Dodge Coronet. You know, the same body style as the Roadrunner and the Charger. And this is back in the day. This is 2000, before cars got outrageous. And the guy only wanted $1,500 because he just put a new brake system on it. And had 318 in it, which 67, that's a decent amount of horsepower back then. But we were buying a house. I said, I just can't spend that money. We're buying a house and all that. And if I bought that car, just if I hadn't done anything with it, it'd be worth 20, 25 grand just the way it was then. I mean, it wasn't painted. It wasn't fixed up. It was just running and driving. And it was just one of those things, I wish I could have had that. Because my dream car is a 68 or 69 Dodge Charger, you know, Roadrunners, all that late 60s body style. I just love. And then every car I've ever owned, I wish I still had because I love them all. But that's the one that definitely got away.
Well, that kind of tapers into unlimited budget. What car would you build?
Oh, it'd be a 68 or 69 Dodge Charger. But the 426 he made, or 383. 383 was, my dad always, that's kind of the compromise between the small block and the 426, because the 426 is, you know, once you get down the road, that thing kicks in. But the 383 was a good kind of medium where you're quick off the line, it would still go, you know, a mile or, you know, beat anything on the highway. But I definitely rest them on it, put disc brakes on it. But it'd be 68 or 69 Charger.
Yeah,
just, you know, just love those body styles. That slick back B post, the flat front end, hideaway headlights. Oh, I just love them. that'd definitely be my, I mean, because some people go crazy, put them on new Charger chassis, and no, not me. I'd upgrade the safety part of it, like the brakes, maybe like the steering, but I keep the big 3/4 inch rear end and everything, the mechanical, all the mechanical stuff I'd keep. Yeah. It's just, oh, that would definitely, I definitely could spend a lot of money on that.
Well, you can spend a bunch of money on everything now. The car market has went ridiculous.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Well, one good thing about it, you can almost build cars from ground up because they have re-stamped fenders, mm-hmm. and new weather stripping, door panels, everything, but you're going to pay for it.
Oh, we were talking, me and Dad were talking about that, and I'm like, there's really no such thing as a car too gone. It just might might not be worth the money you have in it, but you can bring any car back now.
Oh, yeah. You're going to definitely spend more money than it's worth, but you can definitely find fenders, doors, hoods, except for those rare things like the, I don't know if you can find doors or fenders for a Pinto or not, brand new, but, you know, be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody had repops, but there's also the Pinto had a cult following there for a little while, so somebody's probably got 80 doors laying in a shed somewhere.
Yeah, I know this father and son, they've both got Mavericks. That was a buddy of mine's dad. He had two Eddas. I think one's a 72, one's a 73, or one's a 71, 72. But it was his dad's, and when his dad passed away, he gave them to him, and they've restored one for his son, and then he's restoring now. And it's for Maverick. I mean, Mavericks are, I mean, they're cool looking. I've seen some for sale. He lowered, put some nice wheels on it, put a 5.0 mm-hmm. motor in it. It's pretty cool. But back in the day, they were just, you know, grocery getters.
Well, I mean, even, I mean, and that's the motor selection. The motor selection now has gotten it. It makes it easy. You know, if you want a reliable car, you know, pick a brand. I mean, Dodge will sell you a crate motor. Ford will sell you a crate motor. I mean, and some of these transplants that they're putting in, mm-hmm. it's like, I saw a picture earlier of a, what was it, 68 or 69 Charger, and it had the new Gen whatever 6 Hemi or with the 7 or 8 speed or whatever AC. Man, it was a brand new car. It just was in a 68, 69 body, and I'm like, man, not that I have that money, but it's possible.
Oh, yeah. For a while back, a few years ago, Dodge had a kit where you could buy a crate motor that was in a platform where you could run it off that platform. You know, all you had to do is put a battery and gas in it, had all the controls where you could test it out, all the wiring. Like if you had a 6-cylinder, you wanted to put a Hemi in your Charger or Challenger, had all the wiring harness. And you could test it out before you even put it in the car. You could break it in before you even put it in the car. So, you know, when it comes to, you just like you say, powertrains and motors and everything else, that, you know, it's just amazing what they're doing nowadays when it comes to that stuff. You're going to pay for it, but it's you can do almost anything you can dream of. It's out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, then, you know, you could still go to a junkyard and find an LS for $500 or $600. The first gens, the mod motor, the Ford, you know, they're starting to pop up. You know, it's just a matter of time before all of the late model drivetrains are popping up and in a relatively cheap price.
You get motor mount conversion kits for almost anything you want. I think you can get you could probably put a 350 in anything.
Oh, yeah.
Or in anything. They've got a conversion bracket that you can fit it in whatever car you can think of. They probably got an engine mount that'll work. My Ring doorbell keeps going off for some reason.
But I mean, even like chassis companies have now started, you know, you want an LS or you want a mod motor or you want small block Chevrolet, small block Fords. You got a bunch of money, you want a Hemi, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's a summit near, about an hour away from me in Arlington. And you just, it's one of those stories you walk and go,
open up. Oh, yeah.
And they've got frames, you know, rolling chassis on the floor. And, mm-hmm. you know, anything you can imagine, you build one from ground up. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll have parts for.
I mean, NPD's right up the road from us. American Motor Direct, Metal Direct. I mean, yeah. There's all these companies now that are stamping out old sheet metal. I mean,
oh yeah.
But
I mean, you can build one from scratch on ground up on most cars, because especially like the Mustangs and the Camaros and all that. There's, you know, 500 different companies that do the same thing. But it's just, you know, it's awesome. This day and age where you can do that stuff, it just costs so much.
Oh, yeah. It has made it easy. The internet has made it easier and also harder to come out with new stuff because.
Yeah, you're going, well, that's cool, but I can't afford that. So I'm going to have to go to the junkyard instead. You know? Yeah.
Well, even, you know, you're like, oh, that's a cool part. And then you just Google the part name and you got the Wish.com version, the Temu version, and 85 American companies building the same stuff. And they're all competing for your dollar. So they're all in line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Speaking of looking new things, and Ashley said something about the last podcast about putting a backup camera on it, on a vehicle for shooting behind it.
Yeah.
I've thought about that with the Dart because it doesn't have a passenger mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, they just thought you just needed one right. mirror on the door. But mine's got some blind spots, and then at night, my tent's pretty dark. Mm-hmm. So I thought I would just put a camera on that I could just turn it on and off.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm going down the road, I can just turn it on or whatever. But just those, you know, fancy stuff like that, you're going, that would be cool in my car. My 54 is the same way. The truck, it just got one of those small little mirrors that just kind of screw onto the edge of the doors.
Little 4 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I hadn't found the stock style mirrors for it yet. So I'm always kind of going like this, trying to see in the rearview mirror. And it is a 5 window, so I don't have much time to turn around, but trying to back it up and,
mm-hmm.
you know, use all my strength to turn the wheel as I'm backing up. So.
Well, I mean, and depending on the vehicle, like sometimes they have like a little lip or whatever. And like, you can easily hide a little backup camera.
Well, I mean, they got the little bolts now with cameras in them. I mean, you could hide it.
So just, you still fit in.
I just don't know where you would put that in a Model A. You know, the screen.
Yeah. Well, they got some of those that, you know, they screw onto the license plate.
Mm-hmm.
But for a while they're in Texas, you couldn't have anything cover up the Texas part. So you try to put it on the bottom one, then all you see is the top of the bumper. The step on the bumper. You're going, that ain't gonna work. So you end up trying to cut out of the bracket or figure something out to get it up higher on the license plate.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're kicking it every time you step in the bed of the truck. So,
and y'all run front plates out there too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They got front plates, but I think they've talked about trying to get away from I've got a new Challenger and I haven't had plates on it since I've had it a couple of years. And I've been pulled over a couple of times in it. And for going a little too fast, but neither of them said anything about front license plate being missing. I got in the trunk case to ask. I just didn't put it on.
It fell off a few miles back, so I just threw it in the trunk.
Yeah, I just had to pick it, throw it in the back of the trunk. You know, I'll put it back on later.
Can you run in Texas? Does the law allow you to run plates from the year of the vehicle?
Yeah, you can do that. You just, you know, you got to go through you just got to the state just like you would a regular. I don't know if you had to do it like we have antique and classic car plates, but I don't know if they. I know you can. I just not sure. Can't remember which way they make you register it.
Florida,
I'm assuming since it's a regular date.
Yeah, Florida, you can, as long as it's from Florida. So,
okay. And
Florida has always been a single plate state, mm-hmm. which lessens your plate opportunities.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I got a 32 plate somewhere, but it's from Tennessee, which is where I'm born, so it's cool. It's a cool memento.
Yeah.
But when I asked about it at the DMV, they're like, was it black and orange? And I was like, no, it's black and white. And they're like, no. And I'm like, dang. So.
Because everybody around here is, I've always just seen this Texas. I'm not sure if you have to have it. Texas is probably the same way. You have to have it. Since it's the correct year, they probably want you from the current state, I imagine.
Yeah. I was just trying to sneak it in. I mean... Like, I know it was supposed to be from Florida, but I have this plate, and it's unrestored, and it's perfect, and it's one color out of the two. Like
on top of it, when you get pulled over, you just take it off. See, there? It's like a little slide thing where you get pulled over and just slide it out. See? Yeah.
But,
like a hideaway.
But now I'm not building a 32, so now it can be wall art.
Well, it still might be a 32.
No.
No.
Modelizer. No. 28, 29, 30,
like,
31.
I know what I'm talking about.
It's all good.
You still may find something 32 that'll tickle your fancy, though.
That is true. I mean, if I find a 32 sedan, yes, or a 32 coupe. Yeah. But
if not,
the way my bank account's set up is I can't afford 32 coupes.
Or just like you were telling the story about your shirt you were wearing when you bought the 54.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe you've got the license plate, 32 license plate, so maybe you'll find the vehicle to match.
I've lost the 54. The 54 isn't even mine anymore.
Ha-ha.
What's new?
Ashley took it.
Oh, gee, yeah. Well, speaking of Matthew and Ashley, my son and his wife is a Matthew and Ashley.
Oh, gee. Yeah, you're like, so that's like the third couple we've heard of that it's Matt and Ashley.
You know, probably about the same age. I think they may be a little bit older than y'all, but they're about the same age as y'all, too.
Yeah.
I'm 35, and Ashley just turned 29 with a year of experience.
Yes.
they're a little bit older than y'all. Not much, but a little bit.
That's okay. Ashley, we're old souls. She
slapped me upside the head if I told her.
She's 29, too. Wink.
29, yeah.
29 and holding.
Yeah. So what is one show or event that you try to make every year?
I've kind of gotten to last few years is the Good Guys show at Texas Motor Speedway. Mm-hmm. I've gone out there. I mean, they've got thousands. They open up the infield.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got thousands of cars. You can see every car you can imagine they'll have out there. And I get kind of lazy. I usually enter the show
mm-hmm.
just because that way I get to park on the infield.
Get closer.
Get closer. I don't care about the judging or nothing like that. That way I just go inside. And it's almost, you know, when you get a ticket, you get a free passenger ticket and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost, you know, worth the while just to pay a little bit extra to mm-hmm. enter the show. That way you get to park inside and, you know, it's somewhat more protected than being in a parking lot.
Yes.
But it's just amazing the cars you see out there. They've got a big swap meet at the same time and mm-hmm. different events. And they have it in the spring and the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been kind of went back for one year. I may go in the the fall. Next year, I'm going to spring, but that's one I try to go to every year. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of the local shows, small shows, I try to go to. There's a show in Roy City that the city puts on, and some like there's a Mopar Mini National show in Raleigh. I try to go to. So a lot of the smaller shows, I try to make.
That's awesome. That one show sounds a lot like the Turkey Rod Run.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what they were going after. Turkey Rod Run down here is on Thanksgiving, and they also have a spring show now, and it's at Daytona Speedway.
They open up the infield, and it's a swap meet, corral, and show all in one.
Yeah. Good guys. It's you got to be a member and all that. Or there's member, it's cheaper to become a member, and you get the newsletter and the magazines every once in a while. So it's a big corporate deal.
Mm-hmm. But Good Guys is a little more hard. They hold their car show to a higher standard than Turkey.
Gotcha.
Turkey, if you pay your money, they'll let you park.
Well, it used to be, you had to be, was it 69 and older? Mm-hmm. But now they've kind of loosened up. Cars, it still has to be, but they're allowing the square bodies, the 80s and older Chevrolet pickup trucks, because they're big. LMC is a big supporter of the show, so they kind of let the 80s Chevrolet pickup trucks enter and all that. So,
LMC has made square bodies great again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's for sure.
Well, even your Chevy pickup truck fits the LMC they sell. I remember when I had my square body, LMC was like the monthly, like, hey, send me a new catalog.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the go-to. If you need something, anything for your old Chevrolet, that's where you went to find the correct bolts or, the tailgate chains or whatever. You went to LMC because they've been around forever. Mm-hmm. Before everything got big, I remember I had it's been years ago, LMC was around. Now there's 500 different companies, but LMC was just they were the guys you go to find something.
Yep.
Before the internet and all that, where you get the catalog out and item number, you fill out the piece of paper, send it in with your check.
Was bummed. I ordered something from Speedway, and I ordered something from Summit, and neither one of them sent me a catalog with my order, and I was bummed.
Really?
I was like, what?
That's wrong.
Like, that was the whole reason I ordered something from you, is because I wanted a new catalog from y'all.
Catalog of the stickers. I like,
yes.
Where's my stickers?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think it was... was it the steering stuff on your truck?
Oh, yeah, the steering...
You got so many stickers.
I ordered new... track or tie rod and drag link for the tow rig, and I'm opening up boxes, and every box had like three stickers in it. I was like, this is Christmas.
And it's like a box and then more, but like everything's in its own individual box, so like there's probably like, I don't know, 10 boxes and 1 to 2 stickers in each box, and we're like, oh, we have different sizes, we have different colors.
I can't throw the stickers away.
No.
I mean, I'll stick them on inside the shop, or I just can't throw them away. I don't know why. I got 500 of them, but I just can't. I got a stack of stuff in the corner of the shop going, what do I do with all these stickers? Well, they're cool. I just can't throw them away. You know, remember as a kid, you go to different shops and they had all the stickers on the doors and stuff, and bathroom door, any door, they had all these stickers on. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I
guess now I know why.
We had a fridge.
I had a fridge that was covered on two sides.
Mm-hmm.
And
when
we bought this, my mom and dad bought a dumpster because all of our stuff was stored in their shed. And I was like, buy a dumpster, we'll split it with you, and then you can clean out some stuff, and we'll also clean out stuff that. We'd been in a camping trailer for 3 years or 2.5 years. So it was like, if we ain't seen it in 2.5 years and we ain't been looking for it, we probably don't need it. Yeah, so let's chunk it before we take it to the house. And my dad was going through his toolbox, and one whole drawer was nothing but Jags and Summit and Wiseco piston sticker, just stickers. Yeah. So what?
Get yourself to throw them away.
I know you can't throw them away. Yeah, I mean they make good Band-Aid for wrench slips.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Need something to stick to hold together just for a second. And stick a sticker on it, and they go, okay, hold for a second. I grab this.
Yep. Or a wrench.
Up a hole,
a wrench a slips, and you got a spot on your firewall. You're just like, why is Go Piston?
Yeah.
So, what is one show or event that you've never been to that you would like to go to?
A lot of the ones down South Texas, like the River Rod and all those down there, I'd like to go to sometime. They're just like everybody says, you know, some of the shows in California, even mm-hmm. though it's in California, ain't California.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't like the population. But it's just some of those, you know, shows on the beach, you know, mm-hmm. just, or, you know, the ocean in the background, you know, just in the weather.
Yes.
So just, you know, anything in California would be kind of cool to go to. But a lot of the ones out South Texas I'd like to go to one of these days. It just seems like timing's never right or whatever.
And Texas is a big state, so it's not like right around the corner.
Yeah, everything's like when I do my photo shoots, seem like everything I do is at least an hour away. I don't care what it is, if it's a type of photo shoot, it's always an hour. In any direction, it's all seem like it's always an hour. Uh-huh. I gotta go. But you know, it's like I forgot what they take, how many hours it takes to go from one side to the next, but like when we have family in Wyoming, we'd go up through the panhandle. That was the first day, just traveling through the panhandle. You go, man, once we got out of the Texas, it was like nothing to get to Wyoming. Just it's hard just to make it through the panhandle, just going, come on, I'm tired of looking at flat, mesquite-infested wilderness out here.
I remember me and Dad, we team drove semi for a little while, and we were going across the I-10. We had picked up in California, and we were coming to Florida. And we're, you know, on I-10, running through, and Dad's like, all right, well, we're going to switch drivers, and we switched right before Texas. And I was like, all right, well, I'll get us through Texas. And he's like, no, you won't. And I'm like, I got 11 hours, but I got this. He woke up, he's like, where you at? And I'm like, I ain't even made it halfway yet.
There's something about, you know, I've from the Panhandle to Wyoming, I drive that twice instead of just having to drive through the Panhandle.
And it's like, it doesn't change. Like, you're just driving, and it's like, it's the same. And then you're like, am I doing circles?
Yeah, I'm on a treadmill or something. Oh, the West Texas just, I don't see, I can live out there. Just too much dry dirt. Nothing to look at.
Yeah, and we get it too, because like people will be like, oh, you live in Florida? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, like by Disney? No. Oh, like Everglades? No. Like, oh, yeah. Up here? No. Oh, the beach? And I'm like, no.
Yeah. Like people from up north, you know, Vermont and, you know, all those states up there, when it takes couple hours you can get across it, in a couple hours you may be in Fort Worth from our place. You know, it's everything just so far apart. Mm-hmm. Down here, like San Antonio, see, Houston's about 5 or 6 hours from us. San Antonio's probably about 4. Those are the big mm-hmm. towns, you know, everybody thinks of when they think of Texas. But
oh, my land.
Because you live in Dallas, don't mean they're close.
We're pretty close to the center, so it's about 5 hours to Miami, the lowest point, and then 5 hours to get out, mm-hmm. 4 or 5 hours to get out.
Like, you can easily leave the state and come back in one day.
Yes.
Yeah, in Texas, I have a couple hours to get into Oklahoma from here, and then 2 or 3 to get into Arkansas from here. So, and if you're going to New Mexico, it's going to be a long day trying to go to New Mexico. Yeah, it's a 2-day trip.
That's when I was talking to Brian about Drag and Destroy. And I was like, yeah, it's my birthday, so, like, we'll come out. And he's like, oh, you're going to drive out? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to put it on a trailer. And he's like, you're not going to drive the car out here? I said, no. Oh, we're not that far into Texas. I'm like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
You're outside of our 2-hour radius of our house.
Oh, and yeah, I'm encroaching a deadline, so it's like, I definitely ain't driving the 54 out there. You know, we're 185 miles this last weekend was, that was about all she wanted.
Yeah. She's like, okay, I'm tired.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure the last probably 50 of that was, baby, just get to the house, okay? Mm-hmm. I know I've mistreated you.
Rubber on the hood.
What do you call your dart? You know, I said, usually when she's acting, I'm like, come on, baby. Come on. Just a little bit further. Come on, baby. Start for me. Come on, baby. So a lot of times it's baby.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, that was Saturday. And I forced her to go on a cruise the next day, too. But coming back, I left a red light, grabbed second. She's running good. Went to grab third. She fell on her face. I'm like, what? So I pulled over. I'm like, because it's much better to be broke down on the side road than on the main road. I'm like, well, is she out of gas? Because I got 2 gauges. One says full, one says empty. So we don't really know. And
more in the middle.
So I went and put gas in her, and I'm like, well, she couldn't have been empty. She only took like 7 gallons. Let her sit there for a second. She started up, drove home. I'm like, all right, well, guess she just wanted a break.
Yeah,
going,
okay, time out.
Break.
So.
Yep. So, do you got any current projects you're working on?
The dart's pretty lucky. I want to eventually put AC in it, but it's she's pretty well. I mean, there's always stuff I want to do to her. But a buddy of mine's got a 67 Pontiac Firebird.
Okay.
That he's had since he was in high school. And he let me use it one time for one of my photo shoots. And I said, hey, man, I'll make you a deal. I'll because he just literally had it parked in the barn. Mm-hmm. And when I brought it, I mean, started it right up. I pulled it out, cleaned it up. And when I took this older couple for their 50th wedding anniversary, mm-hmm. and I was telling everybody at the party, I said, I literally just drug this out of the barn yesterday. And I said, man, I'll keep it at my place in the shop, and then I'll kind of do stuff for you, like change the gas tank, fuel pump, just little stuff like that. Keep it running, drive it for them. And so I've been kind of piddling with that here recently. Plus, I'm no time frame. I can kind of don't have to have it running next day or anything like that.
Right.
So I've just kind of been piddling on it for them. So it was kind of a trade out. He lets me use it for photo shoots, and I kind of keep it running and fix things as it needs, or you know, kind of store it a piece at a time for him. Mm-hmm. And then the 54, it's running and driving, but there's a lot I need to work on the brakes. I put a tachometer on it this last weekend because I can't quite hear if it's revved. I can't tell if it's revved out or not. So I wanted to see what the RPMs, because I know it cruises at 60. I mean, it's all stock, 3-in-a-tree, the original inline 6. But I wanted to see if I could get it past 60. But I can't hear it well enough to find out, to hear if it's, you know, about to explode or not. So I put a I put a tachometer on it to see what the RPMs on it, but I haven't driven it since.
That's and, my problem the with bed, the 54.
Yeah, I need some, you know, I need something I can at least get on the highway if I have to.
Yeah.
Because around here, they keep jacking with the service roads, making them one way. And it's hard to get around sometimes where they'll force you on in the interstate because they're tearing up the road or something. So I want something I want it to where at least I can drive on the highway if I need to. But I just got to see if in her current condition, if she could do it on her own. If not, I'll have to get a different transmission or change the gears in the rear end or something like that. This is where I can get on the highway if I have to.
Now, that's got the 235 in it? Still got
four-wheel drum brakes all the way around. Yeah, 235.
Yeah.
But it runs like a sewing machine. I bought it from a buddy of mine, and he was going to do a frame swap and put a big block on it. And I kept saying, man, that motor sounds so good. I said, man, if you do this frame swap, leave it on the motor in the frame, and I'll buy it from you. And but I finally eventually talked him out of it, the whole truck. And I want to try to keep it as original as I can. It's because it just sounds so good. Just that inline six, it just purrs like a kitten. And the three on the tree, it's just fun to drive. It's just not quite fast enough.
I can understand that.
But with it, I've got to redo the bed. The bed's, it's got a metal plate they put on top of the wood.
Mm-hmm.
I eventually want to take that metal plate and redo the wood bed in it and stuff like that. And the body's all bent up, you know, but I put one of those liquid wraps on it. It sprays on like paint, but it'll come off like a vinyl wrap. And I always call it like it's a 5 foot paint or 10 foot paint job. It looks good 10 foot away, but once you get closer, you can see the dents and dings and all that in it. But I mean, it still looks good. It looks good. It looks awesome in pictures.
So it serves its purpose.
No, yeah, that's the, you know, not the only reason I bought it. That was a big reason because I know those Christmas minis, they're really popular right now. I've got two or three different photographers I work with every year, and I've got 4 acres and cedar trees and all that. So they come out here and have their sessions. I don't have to go anywhere. I just park the truck and let them have at it.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the three I got. You know, I wish I could get more. My wife said, no more cars. I can't afford it anymore anyway. But
I mean,
you got to slide one to her and be like, no, babe, this is your truck.
Well, what she would want, she loves the old Model T's original, the original Model T's and Model A's and all that. Mm-hmm. But that's just too slow. You get run over and honked at around here. But I always want to get one. You ever heard of the Shea, Model A Shays?
Mm-mm.
Back in the early 80s, somebody got a contract. This builder got a contract with Ford that Ford would reproduce the Model A and Model T bodies. And they would put them on, I think it was Pinto chassis. So you'd have the front disc brakes and the little four cylinder that would come in the Pintos, but you had the body of a Model T, and it was from Ford. They were going to do several different styles of cars, but I don't think it was as profitable. I did it for several years in the early 80s, but I'd like to get one of those. That way it would drive highway speeds. Mm-hmm. You can still find them out there, but it's just something you could drive highway speeds and not get run over.
And well, I mean,
this is one of those things that came out.
I got a 32, and it doesn't have any engine mounts on the chassis. So, I mean, you could put a small block in it. That's what I was planning on putting in it.
Yeah, but I'd have to figure a way to get, you know, get the belly around it.
I'm saying for her.
Well, yeah, she would probably go for that. But then she's going, how much is it going to cost? How long is it going to take you to do that? What about the other stuff you got to do around the house?
Yeah. Y'all are in dry climate. There's got to be a clean sedan body out there somewhere.
Oh, yeah, probably is. But
well, if there is, send them our way.
I'd make a trip.
Yeah, it's just money. Like, I need to get a convertible at some point for the business. Well, something big and long, you know,
yeah,
Cadillac or a Lincoln, that's in my sights, but I just don't have money to do it. But it's on my list.
There was a Cadillac on Marketplace around us for a little while that the top had went away. So they just finished it off and made it a Roadster.
Yeah.
And it looked good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen some of those, but my luck, I'd be picking somebody up and it'd start raining. But I found quite a few in decent shape for around 10 grand, but 10 grand's out of my reach right now because, you know, everything's so expensive right now, but money is tight.
What's weird is different places in the country, different cars are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like square body C10s. Texas and Florida are pretty close, but like if you go up to Arizona, they're cheap. California, they're cheap. I've thought about buying a 3-car trailer just to go pull like 3 of them back to Florida and double my money. Like, because and clean, like good looking trucks. But then Model A's are real healthy here. And if you add rat rod in front of it, that's more. And it's like, wait a second.
How much is a running original Model A or Model T running around y'all? Do y'all know?
Like 12 to 15.
Yeah. I've seen around 10 or 12 around here, ballpark. Because that's what my wife really like is a original. But it's like you said, it just depends what part of the country sometimes, what's popular. Mm-hmm. Like when I was younger, you could buy a mid-70 Dodge pickup truck or 80s for $1,500 in good shape, running, mm-hmm. driving. But now you can't touch a rolling chassis for under 5. That's for a Dodge pickup.
Well, that's what my
Dodge, you know, nobody like Dodges.
My dad was going through that because he recently got the 34. And, you know, he was coming around. He's like, hey, this is my budget. And I'm like, that'll get you one that you're going to have to work on. And he's like, what? Like, because he's, you know, back early 2000s when he was in the trading game. You know, they were trading in $10,000 to $15,000 hot rods, and they were nice cars. And now, you don't. I mean, he did get a really good deal on the 34, but it was like, you know, you'd go look at cars, and it's like, you want how much for this? Like, you're gonna give me money because that like fender, we went and looked at. The first car me and him went to go look at together, it was like an hour trip, whatever. And it's, this is a running, driving, beautiful, big block. I think it was like a 38 business coupe. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, let's go get it. The fenders are cracked. The big block, I got out of my truck. And how bad it was. Was I made one trip around it and I texted Ashley. I said, well, this is a nope. The motor was like he had the motor running, which was first red flag. And it's like, you could boil stuff on it. And then you look at the gauge and it's like 160. And I'm like, you lie. Like, you're lying. Your gauge is wrong.
Like, you know, people's like a buddy of mine, he's a awesome mechanic. I mean, just awesome mechanic. Self-taught and all that. And he'll talk about a car he's about to sell. He goes, man, I haven't had a lick of problem with this. It's a good car. All I've had to do is change this, change that. You know, this and that. It's going, you consider that a good car? Man, yeah. Me, you know, I don't want any, you know, good. For me, it's just, sorry, Darren, if I threw you under the bus. But, but you know, everybody's interpretation of things like, oh, that looks good. You're going, your interpretation looking good is different from my interpretation.
Yeah, he would say, your driver and my driver are two different things completely.
Yeah.
But also, I always laugh when I see ads that say mechanic owned. And I'm like, okay, that's the last car I want to own.
Don't buy that one.
Like, that's not that's the like one. A painter.
It's like painters, you know, their housework looks the worst mm-hmm. than anything else because last thing they want to do is come home mm-hmm. and paint their own house. And mechanics, last thing they want to do is work on their own cars. So my dad always told me his brother was an awesome mechanic, but he was hard on vehicles. He goes, never buy a truck from your uncle or buy any vehicle because he can fix it, but it's been rode hard. And he said, oh, it's a good truck. Yeah, okay. Everybody's interpretation is so different.
Yep.
That's why you say you always got to look at it in person. Because, well, you know, it works both ways. When I bought my Dart, it looked good in the pictures, but when you saw it in person, it was just gorgeous. Yeah. But most of the time, it's just the opposite. You look at the pictures, not too bad. You don't go, okay, there's there, fix that. Oh, it's got a knock in it, you know,
Oh, we went down and looked at a chassis, two or three weeks ago, and the pictures of the chassis was like powder coated, all the chrome was nice. I'm like, well, shoot. I got chrome spindles like already on this chassis, so like I'll switch over. I'll have whole front chrome front end, and man, this is gonna be money. This is gonna save me so much time. Got down there and I'm like, "Where's the chassis at?" He's like, "That's the one." I'm like, "No, that ain't the one you took pictures of, bud." Oh yeah, the pictures were a little old. I'm like, "You think?"
Well, it gets me here. Like, people, the first picture will be a beautiful car, and then they'll show their car like, this car can look like that car. No, that's false advertisement. Mm-hmm. I know what a car can look like. Don't put that first picture on because you're getting my hopes up. Yeah. You see that second picture going, oh, wait a minute. That's nothing, you know.
Or the guy that says it's 99% finished, it only needs, and then the list is longer than the ad. It's like, it only needs everything else. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah, the old famous, it ran when it parked.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you park it? If it was running, it wouldn't have been parked.
Or when did you park it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was it last week or 10 years ago?
Usually people don't park cars that are running. You know, there's something wrong with it.
Yeah. So.
But.
So, what is one piece of advice that you'd give somebody that's trying to get into the car culture?
Patience. I guess especially this younger generation, really impatient. They want it right now. Yeah. So if somebody's starting in something, get something that's running and driving. Mm-hmm. You know, get something that you can tinker with while. Because I'm that way. If it's not running and driving, I'll get bored with it. But if it's driving, I can fix something and go out and drive it and bring it back. But so many people buy a project, tear it apart, and you see it for sale a year later, it's still in pieces because they get overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe just, you know, buy something that you like, you know, change, you know, the rear end here or the transmission there, you know, just start fixing it as you're driving it. Because if you tear it apart, you know, and lose interest, then you got to figure out to sell it in pieces or put it back together. But you just, you know, me, big thing is just, you know, find something that you can, you know, you have the ability to work on. Mm-hmm. If you don't know anything about motors, make sure you don't buy anything that has a blown motor. Just kind of run it. And later on, if you want to swap motors, then that's when you learn what to do. Because you buy something with a blown motor, oh, I'm going to fix this. But if you don't fix it, can't figure it out, mm-hmm. then you're going to lose interest.
Yep.
You're gonna have to have that carrot at the end of the stick that you're chasing. You know.
Yeah, I'm fortunate that we can still drive the 54.
Yeah.
And then I can have my project in the corner.
Right. That's the ideal way to do it, is find your car you really want to do from the ground up, but still have something that that you can drive and go to car shows with and keep your interest up. Mm-hmm. It kind of motivates you for that other.
And getting out to car shows will give you motivation too. You know, hanging out with people that are doing it. You know, because like the gathering that we reference sometimes. That's the guy I bought the 32 from. But he going to his house kind of makes you want to come home and work on your stuff. Because it's like, especially he's got way too many projects. I get it. His coupe is nice. He's building a Trog Roadster that got accepted, so he'll be at Trog with it. I'm like, awesome. But like, we go to his house and I'm like, what is the coupe sitting there, bud? Oh, that's, I'm gonna sandblast it and I'm gonna do that. I'm like, finish those two.
Well, it's just like I told a buddy of mine, that buddy Darren, he's always got several projects, and your money always gets spread across all the different projects instead of being able to fix that one. Mm-hmm. And but it's one of those things, it's toys, it's new toys. You're going, I want all of these, but you know, the money spread thin that you can't finish one thing.
Mm-hmm. Not to bring it around, but it sounds a lot like the squirrel. Starting all these projects.
Oh yeah, definitely. You're waiting for this part to come in on this one, so I'll work on this one. Mm-hmm. That one's made me mad. I'm gonna go over there and work on this one. Like that same buddy Darren, he's got a 1970 Mercury Cyclone. Big 351 claved in it. This mm-hmm. car is a beast. Now he's got two boats. He bought a boat that, you know, he can use with the family, but then he come upon the steal of a deal on another boat that's got a 351 Cleveland in it.
Oh, jeez.
So I go, man, what do you do with another boat? He goes, well, I kind of just fell into this one, but I'll get it running and sell it. But he goes, man, it's got a 351 Cleveland in it. I said, man, you know that motor breed. He goes, sure do. So he's always got several different things that he come across and, you know, projects and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it goes back to the squirrel thing. You go, oh, I'd like a boat. Oh, motorcycle.
Yeah. I know that one. Well, you know the two happiest days in a boat owner's life, right?
Yeah, the day you buy it, the day you sell it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Heard that. They're just money pits.
Bust out another 1,000. And down here we got airboats. Yeah. So you and I repeat, bust out another 1,000.
Oh yeah, those look so like a buddy. That same buddy, he had, I forgot what size motorcycle. He put, was it Babusa or something like that? He put into a goat cart frame, like not a little goat, but a bigger goat cart frames. And he posted a video on it. The first thing that came to my mind was, oh, he's going to kill himself. That sucker would fly. But his wife made him sell it because she knew he would kill himself. But just stuff like that, he got ideas going, wait a minute. I got this motorcycle. I got this go-kart. I can put those together.
That was the guy that, God rest his soul, but was like the crew chief to our race team when we were building the S10. There was a kid that he adopted, but he was kind of just the little hang around neighborhood kid that wanted to learn, and you had me. So he was like, well, let's build a go-kart chassis. There's a 500 two-stroke dirt bike motor over there, and we drag raced it.
Yeah.
And you know, you'd pull up and the drag strip made you run in the motorcycle class because obviously you're not big like a car. So you had to run in the motorcycle class, but none of the motorcycles wanted to get whooped by a little kid on a go-kart. So,
yeah.
But so where can people find Pop's Classic Car Photo Resource? Where's the best way to get in contact with you?
Facebook, Instagram, the website. I think when you Google Pop's Classic Car Photo, it comes up pretty on Facebook and all that, but I've got a TikTok page, but I don't you know, much. And, you know, but mainly somebody get more of my followers on Facebook.
Okay.
Facebook Messenger. I get a lot of inquiries over Facebook Messenger. So those, you know, Facebook, Instagram, and my website, all Pops Classic Car Photo Resource is you can get a hold of me. Awesome. A good old telephone, too. So.
All right. Well, we will make sure that those links are posted in the show notes. And
appreciate it.
Make sure you go check out Swap It Fast.
Already signed up.
Awesome.
Awesome. And don't forget to go check out Throttle Addict using the code word Hot Rod, and you get to save 15% off.
All right. Later, guys.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Yo, thank you.